Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It is now Wednesday night, and it's time for inspirational Wednesday night Bible study. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and it's a pleasure to be back with you one more time. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you, my brothers and sisters, and even someone that may not be saved, to explore the Word of God together, going to the throne of grace, trying to learn more and more about God every day. I am thankful and also grateful. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week and that God delivered the things in your life that was necessary and that was needed from you for you to get from point A to point B. But I want to let you know that God has a master plan. And before the foundation of the world, God created his plan. He created his people. And each and every one of us, God had us in mind personally and designed what he expects from all of our lives. And because of that, we could be assured that God has never forgotten about you. He said, I would always be with you, even until the end of the world. Then I'll carry you all through eternity. You know, I don't see how we could lose with something like that. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. Well, tonight our lesson is going to come out of the book of Philippians. For those of you who have your Bible, we're going to be in the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the fourth chapter. We're going to do verses 5 through 19. And if there's anybody out there that calls to the program week after week and you don't have a Bible, I suggest that you get one because the Bible is our manual. It is our daily instruction for our daily living. And it's good to go through the Word of God together, you know, even though I give the scriptures to see them in the Word of God. So you can know even more that it is true. We have to each study it for ourselves, the Word of God, because people can people may be steering you in the wrong way. So, again, the lesson is coming from Philippians, the fourth chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse, and the title of the lesson is, Thank God for What You Have. Thank God for what you have and trust God for what you need. As always, I want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity to go before his people. I thank him for his son and I thank him for his spirit. And I thank each and every one of you that take time out of your schedule and come to the program on Wednesday night. As always, I want to know if anyone would like to pray. Because it's not just my Bible study, it is our Bible study. And if anyone would like to open us up with prayer and you press the one button on your phone, if you're listening on a phone or if you're hearing the program live on the Internet, you could call the number. The people who may be listening on the Internet can call the number 1-347-945-7659. It's on the screen. You can call that number, and once you call that number, you can come into the studio, and I'll open the airwaves, and you'll be able to pray. But if not, we're going to go ahead to the throne of grace, giving God the praise and the honor for allowing us to be here again. And here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear Lord God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for another day. Thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your grace and your loving kindness. Thank you for being such a good God, merciful and kind. Thank you for loving on us, dear God, even though we don't always love you back the same way you have extended your love towards us, but you love us because we have accepted your Son. And for that, we are grateful. And, dear God, I'm asking that you let your word not return void on tonight, but that you allow it to accomplish everything that you intended for it to accomplish. Heavenly Father, some people are in need of one thing and others are in need of another thing, dear God. But you know all of the needs. Lord, bless each home that's represented here tonight. Bless each individual, dear God. Let their way be made easier, dear God, and any adversities, problems, situations that may be in their life still right now, dear God, let them know that you are able and you're willing and that you love them and that you're going to see them through. Help them, dear God, in their hour of need right now. Look down upon all of the sick and the shut-in, dear God, everywhere. Bless them, dear God, and anybody going through any kind of medical problems with their life, dear God. You said you're a healer, dear God, and we believe you. Look down on everyone's finances, dear God. Look down on someone that may have a problem or dealing with something with family members, dear God. Ease the way. Have mercy, dear God. Heavenly Father, and we're going to be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory because you're worthy. You're worthy, dear God. All these blessings and others we ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And let the church say amen. So as we get ready to get into the lesson, I see that a lot more callers has called in. So again, I'm going to say we're coming out of the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 5th through the 19th verse. And the title of the lesson is, Thank God for What You Have and Trust God for What You Need. As always, I give some background. And tonight, what I'm going to do is just talk a little bit about Paul because we mentioned him so much. But there is much we can learn from the life of Paul. Far from ordinary, Paul was given the opportunity to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. You see, the story of Paul is a story of redemption in Jesus Christ and a testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of the Lord. We have to remember when God let us see these characters in the Bible and he let us see how their life was, and then after, you know, growing in the grace and the knowledge of God, how it changed. And that even though when God chose some of these people, they weren't doing anything to please God, and most of them was doing things that was against, well, in Paul's case, was against God. But you see, when God looked at Paul just as well as he looked at you, he don't look at what you are, but what you can become. He look at what he has put in you and waiting for it to be manifested in you. So, you know, you look at how God chose people, and usually he chose a sinner, you know, and they soon became saints. That's why since we accept Christ and we pressing for the mark of the high call, and that's why we are called the saints of God. If you're saved, if someone on the line is listening and not saved and, you know, you want to accept Christ as your Savior, you know, you press the one button and we'll do the prayer repentance with you, and you know, or you could call me offline. But, you know, it is God's desire that all sorts of men be saved. You see, but however, to gain a full measure of the man, talking about Paul, we must examine his dark side and what he symbolized before becoming the apostle of grace. You see, Paul's early life was marked by religious zeal. And, you know, when they say you have a zeal, but it's not always according to knowledge. And he dealt with brutal violence and a relentlessness prosecution of the early church. Fortunate, the later years of Paul's life shows a marked difference as he lived his life for Christ and the advancement of God's kingdom. You see, Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and that's the book we're in tonight. And it was written to the church at Philippi. Philippi was the place, the Philippian were the people. Paul wrote this letter while in Rome, and Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. And this book only consists of four chapters. So if you want to say you read the Bible and always know what to read, you could just read the book of Philippians because, like I say, it's only four chapters. It's a small book. You see, the letter of Philippians is called Paul's joy letter. This letter emphasized the joy, the real joy of a Christian life. And I'm just saying what we should do when we look at the characters that God gave us, for example, in the books that they wrote. You know, it is God's hope that we share Paul's aspiration and seek to know Christ more and more. We should rejoice with Paul as we read the book of Philippians and rededicate ourselves to finding the true joy, which is in Jesus Christ. And we're going into the scripture now. We starting at Philippians, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh verse, and I'm going to expound on it, and we're going to go through the next one. When you got time, read the Word of God. Read what we went over today. Look at it with eyes after exploring it and see if you see things different. And you might come up with something I didn't even say, because remember, it's the Holy Ghost that's given illumination and a revelation. You know, nothing could be illuminated or revelated to you unless you reading it or you trying to study it. But the scripture goes as this, the fifth chapter. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. When I look at this, the word moderation, where it started off, let your moderation be known unto all men, moderations mean to be grateful and reasonable, and we should be at peace with our fellow Christians. That's what Paul is telling the church, you know, be reasonable, be gracious to one another. And that's how we should be, and we should be gentle, reasonable, fair-minded, and charitable to all those in the church as well as outside the church. We shouldn't overly express our opinion about who we are in Christ Jesus as if we have personal rights. You know, that's what they did in the Old Testament, the Jews against the Gentiles, but the door is open to everyone, and a Gentile is anything that's not a Jew. So thank God for letting the Gentiles in, because we are all but Gentiles unless someone is listening and is a Jew. So we shouldn't go around, you know, expressing our opinions about who we are in Christ as if we have personal rights. You see, it's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. And the reason God did this, he don't leave no space for any man to boast. You know, ultimate joy comes from Christ indwelling in us. So it's not even us, it's Christ indwelling in us. This scripture is letting us know that Christ is coming back also, because they say God is at hand. And we should be careful by giving thanks and praying in season and out of season. You know, we must thank God for what we have and trust him for what we need. Because, you know, the scripture says the Lord is at hand, saying Christ is near. And at his second coming, we will fully realize this ultimate joy. See, we have a joy down here, but it's nothing compared to the joy that we would have in eternity. And what it's saying, when Christ comes back, in his second coming, and he take us to the prepared place, what he prepared for us, we will realize the ultimate joy. But until then, there is joy here on earth, but we got to put in the work. He who lives in us will fulfill his final purpose, his design purpose for us. But you know, the scripture always say, be careful for nothing, which means don't worry about I can imagine that that's the hardest thing in the world for a person to not worry about anything. Can you even imagine being anxious about nothing? That seems impossible. But we all worry. We have worries on our job. We worry about our family. We worry about our children. We worry about our homes. Children in school is worrying about school. We have worries on every side. When God sent his son, you accepted his son as your savior. You became saved, but it does not take away the trials and tribulations of this life. But it's not so much what you go through, it's who you go through it with. You see, Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayer. He said, do you want to worry less? Then pray more. Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. God's peace is different from the world peace. You see, true peace is not found in just positive thinking. Because if everybody who just thought positive would have total peace, it would be cool. But it's not just with positive thinking. It's not with the absence of conflict, because they got people not even going through anything, and yet they depress. And it's not a good feeling, you know, because you could be having a good feeling but still have problems. You see, true peace is not found in positive thinking only. It comes from knowing that God is in control and you can trust him for all of his needs. You see, our citizenship in Christ's kingdom is sure. Yes, we are citizens in the kingdom of God. That's how we could be in the world, but not of the world. And that's why they say we should be peculiar people, because once we accept Christ, we are set apart, and we are now new creatures, and we belong to the citizen. We have citizenship in Christ's kingdom. You see, our destiny is already set. And we can have victory over sin if we learn to be content in whatever state we are in. If you thank God for what you have and trust him for what you need, you know, God's peace will guard your heart and your mind against anxieties. This is what peace of God will do. You know, first it will restore divine peace in times of anxiety. So wonderful that it exceeds one's ability to understand it. And then God's peace far surpasses our own understanding. You know, the Bible teaches us that everything ain't for us to understand. And the Bible say, lean not to your own understanding, because it'll get you in trouble all the time. But God's peace far surpasses our own understanding of the problems that even face us. But the good thing is, he has the ability to cope with it and the power to solve it. You see, praying is our solution for anxiety, not just for some things, but in all things. You know, some people think some things is too big for God and some things are too little, or some things that you may be doing in your life you don't think you have to share it with God. But God said all things, when they use the word all in the Bible, it means just that. All things through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God. You see, while God is eager to hear our requests, they ought to be accomplished with thanksgiving. God want to know that you're grateful, because one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude. You know how you do something for some people and they never could say thank you, how it makes you feel? So just think about God. And if we look at the eighth verse, all the way down the eighth and the ninth verse, and the scripture reads as this: finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So what this scripture is saying is telling us that our mind will play tricks on us, and half the time what we begin to think, that's who we become. So as a man thinketh, so is he. So it's telling you to think on things that are lovely and pure and things that are honest and things that are of a good report, you know, and things that, you know, you could give praise for. You know, think on these things. And think on the things which you have learned, what you have learned about God from your existence and beginning and from your first learning about God till now. He's what it say, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul was writing to the Philippians, but, you know, the book that he wrote to the Philippians is also for us. And we have seen through the writings in the Bible what Paul was all about. So he said, those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, do those things. What we put into our mind determines what comes out in our words and even our action. God has given us his word, and we should think on what God has said, not on what is seen in your life. Because you see, you know, what you see has nothing to do with God's intended purpose for you. What you see today has nothing to do with your tomorrow. You see, so we've got to use the word of God, and we should think on what God has said, not on just what we can see. You see, have faith in God, because Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We should program our mind with thoughts that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. We have to be careful what we let into our mind. You see, Satan is putting all kind of distractions in your path. See, Satan can't kill you, because if he could, none of us would be living. But what he could do is only play in your mind. And what he try to do, when you get a little word in your mind and you don't do anything with it, he come and snatch it. You see, we have accepted the things that Satan has placed in our mind and has distracted our path. We have accepted them so long we can no longer see the danger, and we are compromising our spirit. Remember, everything that the devil set up for our bad, God can turn it around for our good. You remember Job? You see, at the end, he got double for his trouble. So just keep pressing on and trusting God and thanking him for what he's given you and trusting for what you need. And you keep going on and you grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And I'm sure, you know, your ladder is going to be better than your beginning. You see, such things like television, internet, certain books, ungodly conversation, you know, and this is a small one that people don't even think that's a sin, you know. They talk about any kind of way they make sometimes men be at work or ladies be at work with men, and they talk under each other's clothes, and they tell, you know, sexual perverted jokes, and, you know, they do all these kind of things. But you know, you have to watch that. You have to watch ungodly conversation. And I guess another form of ungodly conversation is when you sit on the phone and be talking about someone. And it's amazing, people who talk about people, it's amazing. They could do it and it seem all right, but soon as someone says about something about them, they want to fall out the friendship. They don't want to have nothing to do with them. You know, because like you the only one that could get hurt, or that you never said anything about anyone else or either made mistakes in your life. You like, you know, some people like to nail people to cross for what they do, and they, you know, want to let it go in their lives. You see, all of these things, TV, books, ungodly conversations, are used by Satan to distract and take our mind into places it shouldn't be. You see, not everything dealing with these things are bad, but I'll ask you tonight, just examine yourself, and you make the determination. Because if we look back over our lives and we look at how much time we have in a day and we really evaluate how much time we put towards other things in reference to how much time we put into God, you know, you could do the math and you could examine yourself and you could make the decision. You see, the Bible say we should guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Remember, whatever you feed, that is what's going to grow. I'll read that again. Whatever you feed, that is what's going to grow. You see, we must examine what we are allowing to enter our mind. It's not good enough to just hear or read the word of God or even know it well. We must also put it into practice. You know, I've seen this a lot of times, how easy it is to listen to a sermon on Sunday and forget what the preacher said. But you still will say, oh, that was a good service. That was a good, we had good church, you know, that preacher was good. But you can't even remember what he said. How easy it is to read the Bible and do not think about what you should do with what the Bible has just told you as to live differently. You see, we have to expose. You know, if we just exposed to God's word, it's not enough. But it should lead to newness, because you're a new creature, and obedience. Ask yourself what God is saying to you when you read the Bible. You know, you read a scripture, a verse, a chapter, a book. You know, God, what do you want me to do for this? And ask him to allow you to put his word into practice in your life. But you should always say, God, what are you saying to me? And if we go to the 10th chapter, 10th verse, we're going to read the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, 13, and 14. And it reads as follows. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me will flourish again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in to be content. I know both to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. And 14, notwithstanding ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my afflictions. You see, the Philippians shared in Paul's financial support while he was in prison. And it's amazing that Paul said he did not accept everyone's support, because he didn't want them to think that he was only doing the will of God for the money. He accepted the Philippians' gift because they were willing givers, and he did have a need. But he also was letting them know that it was the church's responsibility to support God's ministers. You see, no matter what he had or didn't have, he learned to be content. You see, Paul would be content because he could see life from God's point of view. And he thanked God for what he had and trusted God for what he needed. You know, how can we find true contentment? Well, I want to let you know tonight that the answer lies in our perspective. Because, you know, if we got a perspective and it's faulty and it's not true, you know, we don't pay that much attention. It becomes our reality, you know. And all reality is real, but it's only real to the person. But the answer lies in our perspective, our priorities, and our source of power. You see, God doesn't give a superman abilities to accomplish everything we can imagine without regards to his will or his interest. You know, even when we pray and we let God know what we want, it is a good thing. But you got to know, you got to pray within the will of God, and you can't pray within the will of God if you don't know the will of God, and the will of God is expressed in his Bible, and you have to know God's will to line your prayers up with the will of God. You know, I always give sometimes the same example. They had a lady at the church, and the lady liked one of the men in the church, and the lady, you know, really wanted him, but the man had a wife. And the lady would always take time and she would pray and she would ask God to remove the man's wife. She didn't care how you remove him. She didn't care if it was debt, her leaving him or whatever. She just wanted the lady to be gone, and she thought that would advance her chances to be with the man. But you see, you could pray for that 365 days a year, 10, 12 times a day. That does not line up with the will of God. So you have to watch out what you pray for, and you got to be conscious of what you pray for, and you got to know that it lines up with the will of God, and you got to, you know, let him know this is what you want. And then even after you did all of that, when you're doing your prayer, you have to say, God, not my will, but thy will. You know, when we see Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before they came to arrest him, and he was praying, and he was asking God to remove the cup from him, the cup of sin that he was about to take on the world, take the cup of sin that he was going to take on himself so that we could have a chance to the tree of life. And it was a hard battle. And Jesus asked him if it was any kind of other way that he could do it, if he could remove the cup from him. But even Jesus said, Lord, not my will, but thy will. And we have to line our prayers up with the word of God, with the will of God, and with God's interest. And then 15 says, we have to remember that everything we pray for, which may even seem good to us, you know, God knows best, and God knows that that's not the best thing for you. And if you're trusting, when you trust someone, you're saying that they know best, then you move on in Jesus' name. In verse 15, I'm going to read 16, 17, and 18. And it says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicate with me concerning giving and receiving. Paul said, When I departed and I went away, no one sent me anything. But ye only, saying that the Philippians was the only ones that kept contributing to him. But remember when we say that the other thing, he say, you know, I'm all right whichever way it be. You know, I'm content in the state that I'm in. If I'm hungry or whatever, you know, that too shall pass. And then 16 say, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, but because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphras the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He's saying, when I went off, nobody was still sending me nothing, but you guys did. And you sent this guy, Epaphras, over, and he brought some more things. He's saying, I'm thankful for it. He say, you know, I'm content because I have it all, and I abound it all, and I'm full of all, and I'm all right. But he said, so that it may be accounted to your account. Paul Paul is giving thanks to the Philippians for their giving and mention a long time ago, because he was telling them that, I remember when you started giving and you're still giving now. Paul knew the weapon. He knew that no weapon that formed against him will prosper, and he continued to be content. You know, we say this scripture all the time, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But can you be content in that word? Can you believe that God will truly work it out? You know, that should give you contentment. The scripture says, no weapon that formed against you shall prosper. Here we see that we must thank God for what he has, what we have, and trust him for what we need. You know, it's a funny thing. What makes money so magnetic? And it gives, and what makes it so, magical and magnetic drawing, and it gives, and giving it away puts our work and our future at risk. You see, giving is not just for the receiver, but it's also for the giver as well. That's what Paul was telling him, so that it can be accounted to their account, and they will be establishing an eternal partnership with God. You know, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. You know, you have to decide. You know, you should do research. You don't have to give to everything and everybody. But there is a right time for giving. And then the other flip side of that coin is, many of us know how to give, but we don't know how to receive. You know, when people try to do something for us, we say, oh, no, that's all right. We feel funny receiving things from other people, but we do know how to give. But just as well as we know how to give, we got to learn how to receive. And you see, we should accept gifts so the giver could receive credit to their account. And you know, you might have never thought about this, but you may be the only person they are willing to give to. And once they give to you and you accept it with thanksgiving and show great thankfulness for the gift, you may be encouraging them to learn to give to others. God wants us to give, but he also wants us to receive. And if we look at the last verse, with the chapters of the chapter, fourth chapter that we're going to read tonight, because there are other verses. But the 19th verse said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You know, the Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwells therein. God said, I own everything. And everything that God has given you, I put in your hand to operate. That makes you a steward. And a steward is someone that takes care of something that belongs to someone else. We are all stewards. And that scripture says Christ is at hand. It's letting us know that Jesus is coming back again. And when Jesus comes, he's going to have his reward in his hand. But the question that he will ask you is, what have you done with what I put in your hand? Or he can ask you, what have you done for me lately? We have to examine our lives and see that we are doing things that would be pleasing unto God, which is our reasonable service. Which is our reasonable service. God has done, God gave us life, he gave us children, he gave us money, he gave us homes, he gave us strength. He wakes us up in the morning, he gives us breath. Our life is a gift from God. What we do with our life is a gift to God. So what we do with our life is just our reasonable service. I heard a lady the other night, and the lady said that, our pay for rent on on earth is our service. You know, and I say, wow, I never thought about it like that, but our rent on earth, the payment is service. 19 say, God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? You know, Jesus, they say God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. God, riches. Jesus Christ is the riches of God. When God allowed Jesus Christ to die to grant us grace, you know, that they like to say that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, we can trust that God will always meet our needs. If you look back over your life and you think things over, can you truly say that you've been blessed and have a testimony? And the blessed assurance that you have, see, we sometimes can't see the forest for the trees because whatever we need on earth, he will always supply, even if it's just the courage to face that as Paul had to do. You see, the worst thing in the world is not to die, but to die without your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever we need in heaven, God has always already supplied it. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you may be all there also. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. So what do prepare and preparation mean? If you told somebody, look, I'm going home and prepare you a meal, you're going and fix it, you're going to take care of it. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, so where I am, you may be also. So whatever you need on earth, God is supplying it. And whatever you will need in eternity, he has already supplied. You see, we must remember the difference between want and need. Most people want to feel good and to avoid discomfort or pain. We may not get all that we want by trusting in Christ. But we sometimes have to look at our attitude and our appetite. Many of us have appetites for everything. And if you pray to God to change your appetite, he will. He's not going to make you live a lifeless life by changing your appetite. But your appetite is going to only desire what is necessary. And I have to say this all the time. If you got a lot of money, you could do whatever you want. You could buy and get whatever you want. But there are some people who don't have enough to go around, and they're trying to go all the way around, and it's causing worry, strife, and pain. God never said that you can't have something, but he don't want you to get it at the expense of giving you a heart attack. You know, you can change, you know, your appetite can change from wanting everything to accepting his provision and his power to live for him, which is your reasonable service. God has, there's a scripture in the Bible, it's in the same book, Philippians 2 and 13. That scripture said this is unbelievable. Let me go to the Bible, I got it right here. Philippians 2 and 13. I only say that scripture about a million times. For it is God which worketh in you to both will and to do of his good pleasure. And then it goes on, 14 say, do all things without murmuring and disputing. What does this say? It didn't say it is you that's going to be able to do you It said, "It is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasures." It's telling you that God is going to do the work. Trust him. Thank him for what you got. Trust him for what you need. And as I close tonight, if you began thanking God for what you have, and you truly trust him, which is to say that God knows best for what you need, you will find the true essence of joy, peace, and commitment. There's a scripture in Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow, I'm going to read that again. Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I just want y'all to know that we make it complicated. God did not make a plan for us that we would never be able to achieve. What sense would that make? God is doing all the work necessary in you. That goes back to that scripture I read. But you just have to obey and submit. Because whatever you need, God's got it. Just be thankful and learn to live. And that's the lesson for the night. And if anybody would like to make any comments, someone button is pressed. I have a call at 504-422-144. Your mic is open.
Yes, Ms. Diane, I had pressed the button earlier. Forgive me, I dialed in at exactly 8:30. You had already started. I had pressed the button to pray. But I just want to let y'all know how God blessed me. I'm going through chemo, and I went Monday. I had a CAT scan Friday, and, you know, God is real good, like you say. Thank him for what you have and trust him for what you need. And I just pray that the chemo does what the doctors wanted to do, and it's doing that. It's shrinking the tumors. The doctors is very satisfied with what it's doing. I thank all y'all for y'all prayers, and I really enjoyed the lesson, and the topic is really true. Thank God for what you have and trust him for what you need. And I enjoyed the discussion tonight, and you hit some key points. And I just thank God for letting you be a part of my life to learn more about his word.
Well, thank you, Sister Cynthia. This is Cynthia, right?
Yes.
I got you now. But I thank you for calling in, even though it was a mistake, but I don't think it was. You know, because you're giving people encouragement that may be going through something. You know, it's not always what we go through. It's how we go through it. You know, if we thank God for the situation and trust him for the outcome, you know, that's all we have. You can't erase what you have.
No.
You know, you don't have the power to make it go, but you trust him, and you know one thing, that God is able.
Oh, yes, he is.
When he's able. You know, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was being fit, getting ready to be placed in a fiery furnace, the king really liked them, and he didn't want it to happen to them. So he's saying, let's reason together. He said, posing your guard, don't show up. He said, you know, y'all going to die in this fire. But you know what they said? We don't know if our God's going to show up. But we know that he could show up. And we know that he could deliver us out of the hand of the fire furnace. But if it's his will. But if it wasn't God's will for them at that time, they was all right. Because, you see, just like in a lesson we said tonight, that, you know, they eternity, their salvation is locked in. So they figured if that would be the end of their life, and their name was written in the Lamb Book of Life, that they were still going to see Jesus face to face. And we all have to go that way.
That's
so
right.
I thank you for calling in because you're giving, you know, encouragement, you know, the way you're going through and who you're going through it with.
Right.
And that's encouragement, and I thank you. And we want to continue to pray for Cynthia, everybody. Cynthia, lift her name up in prayer and call by name, and she says she's going through the her chemo. And this one thing I want to let you know. You listen to what man has to say, but you believe the report of the Lord.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
So we're going to lift you up in prayer, and you pray for us, and we're going to have a prayer circle that Satan will be horrified. But we all have to put in the work. We all have to do our part, and God's going to definitely see us through. You know, this Wednesday night Bible study, you know, God know about that in heaven. He know who going to call. He know who's been calling. He know who have grown, and he know all of this. So, you know, this is, yeah, you know, Wednesday night Bible study is in heaven. It's known about in heaven when you show up. Come on, y'all. We, you know, God said every good deed, no good deed go undone. And when
we're
doing the things of God and we truly seeking him, it gives him pleasure. And God said he's going to work in us. The Philippians 2 and 13 that I couldn't forget, remember earlier. You know, it says, for God, it is God that working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. We only have to submit and obey.
That's
God
right.
said his yoke is easy and his burdens is light. We make it complicated.
Right.
So, I say thank you, Sister Cynthia. And if anyone else would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. And I didn't play a song in the beginning, so I have a nice song that I can play right now saying God is able, because that ties back into the lesson. But I don't want, when the music starts playing, someone to hang up. So what I'm going to do now is ask for the closing prayer. And then I'll play the music because I don't want anyone to miss the closing prayer. And if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button. And since Cynthia was trying to pray the opening prayer, Cynthia?
Yes?
Since you missed the opening prayer, you could do the closing prayer. And after Cynthia get through praying, I'm going to play some music. But I will still be on the line. And if anybody would like to make comments, concerns, give words of encouragement, ask for blessing, ask for prayers or anything. You could press your one button and I could still open your line. But at this time, we're going to go through the throne of grace and Cynthia is going to lead us there. Okay, Cynthia.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to learn more of your word. Lord, continue to bless us, strengthen us, open our minds and our hearts to learn more about your word, Lord. Lord, just have mercy on us, Lord. Lord, we love you and we can't do without you. But we need you, Father God. We need you every hour of the day. Lord, thank you for being there for me. Thank you for being there for somebody else. Lord, you made me strong when I was weak, Lord. Thank you for taking me through trials and tribulations that brought me close to you, and it made me stronger. Lord, I love you, and I can't do without you. Bless all the listeners. Bless whatever they stand in need of. Lord, this we ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Cynthia, so much. Thank you for that wonderful prayer. And if anybody else would like to pray, I could open a mic. You know, sometimes we just have to keep going to the throne of grace because in the lesson we learned tonight, you know, they say through all things, through prayer and supplication. And if we have any anxiety, trials, or tribulation, if we want to not worry, we need to pray. So if there's anybody else who would like to pray, you know, you could press the one button and I'll open the phone. I just feel like praying myself right now. So, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for your word that went forth on tonight. Lord, I pray that it don't return void and that you use it and it accomplish what you set out for it to do. Lord, I just thank you for allowing me the opportunity to go before your people. And, Lord, I want to call Miss Cynthia's name out loud. Heavenly Father, you know you're a doctor in the sick room and you are definitely a miracle worker. Heavenly Father, you could do anything you want. And Heavenly Father, you are in total control. She heard what the doctors had to say, but we're going to believe the report of the Lord. And Lord, all we have to do is bow down before you and say, thank you. Thank you, dear God. Let us be thankful for all that you're doing for us, dear God. Let us not take it lightly. And let us just thank you, dear God. Because one of the worst sins in the world is the sin of ingratitude, and we don't want to have that over our head, dear God. So I say thank you. Heavenly Father, I say thank you again because you're worthy. Lord, I pray that the words go forward and it please you, be pleasing to your ear. It be, you know, you accept it as a sacrifice because we come every week, dear God. Lord, I know you have a covering on Wednesday night Bible study, and you blessing each person that's calling in one way or another, dear God, for their faithfulness and keep coming back week after week. You say no good deed will go unrewarded. You say you coming back with your angels, and you're going to have your reward in your hand, and we saying thank you, dear God. But let us not just be hearers of the word, but become doers of the word, dear God. Let us do as Paul did, learn to be content whatever state we are in, dear God. Let us just learn how to give, and then let us learn how to receive, dear God. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we can't do without you. Lord, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is a deposit to us until Jesus come back. And Lord, you said in your word, whatever the Holy Ghost is doing is what you would have did if you weren't him. We thank you, dear God, for your son and your spirit, and we thank you, our creator. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful unto you that, you know, we can't even comprehend the things that you're doing in our lives. You know, thank you for the peace, dear God, that surpasses understanding. Thank you for the joy, dear God, that we have in our lives. Thank you for letting us know that happy and joy is not the same thing, dear God. Joy shows up when there's problems, dear God, and happy only happens when something happens. But thank you for the joy which we get in Jesus Christ. Lord, let our daily living be guided by your daily instructions. Please allow your word to be a compass for our lives, dear God. Let us think on things that are lovely and think on things that are good and a good report. Hallelujah. Let us guard our mind and our heart from Satan, dear God. Lord, if we do these things, it will be pleasing in your sight, and you're going to say, thy good and faithful servant, well done. Lord, I ask all these blessings in Jesus' name for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. And that's the closing prayer, but we're going to listen to one song, and if you're still on the line, we'll close
God
after that.
God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. God is able. God is able. God is able. And he won't fail. Tell me who make mountains move out of my way? Who make a miracle because of my faith? And when the doctor says no, can still say yes. And when I'm in trouble, who's right there to help me pass every test? God is able. God is able. God is able. Make a river out of a little stream. of a son can look at me, and who can tell the wind to whistle through the trees? And when I'm in trouble, who's that same God that will come down and rescue me? God is able. God is able. God is able, and he won't fail. No, he won't fail. He won't fail. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give in. God won't fail. God is able. Tell you, God is able, and he won't. No, God won't. He won't fail. God won't. He'll never leave, never forsake. No, he won't fail. He'll be there till the end. God won't fail. He won't fail.
That song is letting us know that God is able and he won't fail. That's our program for tonight. It's 9:32. And I pray that everyone was blessed and that if the Lord said the same, you'll return back on next week, same time, same station. I want you to know that God loves you and so do I. And I want to let you know that we should grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. Now and forevermore. And let the church say amen. God be with you until we meet again. And God loves you, and so do I. Have a great week. Good night.